regular council meeting to order. Please stand for the pledge. Corey's mom, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you'd remain standing, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the much-needed rain for our farmers and landscapers. Bless us all tonight and keep us under your watchful eye. I'm sure I'm not alone when I say I'm sick and tired of lowering our flags to half-mast. Not, of course, in why we do it, out of respect, but we're just sick and tired. Lord, we ask tonight that you instill in us the grace to carry on and to do your will. Genesis 1:26 and 27 tells us that God created mankind, and that's every man and every woman, in his own image and likeness. So what more do we need to hear, and what is there not to understand with that simple statement? Bless us, O Lord, and keep our residents safe and bestow upon our police officers a safe environment so that they can continue to protect and serve and still go home each and every day or night to their families. We ask for all of this in your holy name. Amen. Okay, Kathy, roll, please.
Fox.
Present.
Hayes. Here. Barstow.
Here.
Lee.
Here.
Pippen.
Here.
Walter.
Here.
Carter.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum present. First thing on the agenda tonight, citizens' comments, and we do have a guest and somebody that's going to be introduced to us, so I will let Mr. Mead do the introduction. Larry? Welcome, Lee.
Welcome. Again, as Mr. Mead said, I'm Lee Conkle, the new general manager of Southwest. I've got about 25 years of experience in the water and wastewater industry, and I've worked with quite a few water districts throughout the state, so I'm looking forward to taking the townships and the city of Tascola along the way. So if there's anything you need, you should be called.
Thank you.
Very good. Great. I understand. Welcome. You already know BJ from some previous.
I do.
Yep, very good.
BJ and Nate.
Very good. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Welcome aboard, and don't feel like you got to stick around now for the whole meeting, okay? But I do. But I do have one question for Mr. Mead. We have a hydrant in Summit Station that's been out of service for quite some time. Can you check on that for me, or do you know the status of that?
Right now, I don't know anything about it. About
okay.
It. And so we will find out.
Very good.
Okay.
Great. All right. You have any other questions for Larry since he's here, or let's give the new guy a round of applause. Thank you very much. Any other citizens' comments tonight? Yes, sir.
This is to follow up a little bit on the conversation that we had about Hazelwood Drive. If I might pass around just a map.
Point of order, he needs to identify himself. He needs to identify himself.
Okay, I'm sorry. When you get back to the mic, if you give us
yes.
your name and address, that'd,
yes,
that'd be great.
Yes, if possible, we identify some other people, if there's anyone left from our development, aside from Mike, I'd like to get them.
Go ahead. Can I comment? Citizens' comments come up to the podium one by one.
Oh, okay.
And then, as you that's before you speak, if you can give your name and address, that would be helpful.
Absolutely. My name is Alex DeNovo, and I'm located at 1833 Hazelwood Drive. And I live in the ravines of Hazelwood subdivision with my wife, Christine, five children under the age of five, with the oldest being five, I should say. So I was accompanied here tonight with a group of concerned neighbors that share a lot of the same concerns that I do about our neighborhood. And to give you a little bit of background on the ravines at Hazelwood, it's about 50 home sites and with more homes on the way. So they're considering additional developments to put additional pressure on the development. And as Mr. King mentioned, the problem is the volume of cars and the velocity of cars. And what it is, a lot of people cut through, as you see on your map, State Route 310 to State Route 16, back and forth. And when they're driving through, they don't really care for the regards of the citizens that live in the neighborhood, the residents of the neighborhood. They're in a hurry. They want to get from point A to point B. They're thinking about going to and from work, going to and from shopping, if they're going on Oxford and State Route 16. So it's a dangerous neighborhood for children to play in. I have five children, so that's a concern of mine. I actually had to build a fence to corral them in because when we went from a four-person family to a five-person family, we went from a zone defense. So a little challenging. Had to install a fence. So my wife has called the police on a number of occasions about the rate of speed that some of the cars travel through the neighborhood. It really is a concern of ours. And our homeowners association, of which I am the president, actually formed a committee specifically to deal with this problem. Now, I'm not sure how many other residents are still here. I think a lot of them left after the first meeting. The group that walked out, I think, was a lot of them. But I know Mike's here, and I don't think anybody else is here from the ravines. But anyways, it is a major concern with all the residents that live in our subdivision. I appreciate very much that you've even considered the matter. With that being stated, we have made council aware. Originally in 2013, I personally began to make council aware. I wrote letters to Mr. Compton, to Mr. King, and to pretty much anyone else that would listen to me, that it is a problem. You know, we reside in this neighborhood. It's a growing neighborhood. It's a neighborhood with a lot of young families, and we want to keep it safe. As a community, our community has come together. We've called, we've written letters, we've written emails, and this is the second time that we've spoke before council about the matter. The city has put speed signs in place, as Mr. King mentioned. There are police cars that do patrol the neighborhood more often, and there are no through traffic signs at both entrances, which we appreciate. But in all honesty, those actions have not made a bit of difference. And in fact, the situation is worse than it was previously. So I would like to reemphasize the need for council to make a budget available, some sort of monetary spend that will be necessary to curb the traffic to the level that it needs to be curbed to make it the neighborhood that it should be. If there's not significant action in this neighborhood, there will be a significant tragic event at some point in time. There's too many children that live in the neighborhood, and there's too many cars that drive through the neighborhood. So let's not let it get to that. And again, thank you very much for deciding to take up the issue.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? Yes, sir.
South Main Street. I just want to say thank you to the finance director who is in here tonight and the parks director for how quickly they create new simplified referee forms. They are awesome.
Very good. Anybody else wish to speak? Yes, sir.
My name is Michael Berger, 1834 Hazelwood Drive. I would just like to reiterate what Alex just said. I fully support everything he said. I also have a wife and three children. It is rather dangerous multiple times. I'm in my front yard just doing this to the passersby. And I know they don't like it, but if you were there, you would see it's not our residents. It's construction vehicles. It's people with horse trailers. It's people that you can tell don't live in the neighborhood. And I loathe to think that it would come to a tragic event to change something. So, like Alex, I really appreciate the mayor and the council for hearing us and for willing to meet with us and talk more about this. So we'll have a resolution. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, sir. Anybody else wish to speak? Okay.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to amend the agenda to include a second executive session directly after the first, pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22G1, to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual, unless the public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual requests a public hearing.
Got a motion by Mrs. Carter.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Hicken. Discussion? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, I'm curious, whoever these individuals are that we're going to speak, do we have some verification that they don't want it done in public?
We do.
Yeah. Am I allowed to answer that? Yeah, we do have. And as you heard the executive session roll through a couple of different things, some of the things involve, I believe that what you just asked directly involves discipline. Mm-hmm. Some of the topics that will be discussed are not discipline-based. But I believe, after checking with Mr. Zetz, I think it's still appropriate to have it in an executive session.
Correct. Correct.
You okay there, Mr. Fox? Any other discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Hayes?
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Hicken?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. The agenda has been amended to a second executive session following the first one, which will be upstairs, both of them. Okay, folks? All right. Introduction, discussion, and approval of consent agenda matters.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Barstow and seconded by Mr. Fox. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Fox?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Hicken?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Okay, consent agenda passes. Ordinance 2016-4265 for a third reading.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Fox and seconded by Mr. Barstow. Kathy, when you're ready.
Ordinance 2016-4265. This is the third reading. An ordinance to rezone property located at 6407, 6409, and 6431 Summit Road, parcel numbers 063-141900-00.000, 63-141906-00.000, and 143-846-00.000, totaling 5.5 plus or minus acres in the city of Pataskala from the light manufacturing M1 zoning classification to general business GB zoning classification.
Discussion?
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. We have to do the third reading. We've had the third reading. I make a motion to approve ordinance 2016-4265.
Second. I have a motion to adopt by Mr. Fox and seconded by Mr. Barstow. Discussion and roll.
Lee?
Yes.
Hicken?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Ordinance passes. The amended ordinance 2016-4268 for a third reading.
So moved.
Moved Second. By Mr. Hicken and seconded by Mr. Barstow. Kathy, when you're ready, take a deep breath.
Amended ordinance 2016-4268. This is the third reading. An ordinance proposing the amendment of sections 2.04, 3.02, 3.03, 3.04, 3.05, 3.06, 3.08, 4.10, 4.11, 4.12, 4.13, 4.14, 5.01, 5.02, 5.03, 5.04, 5.05, 6.01, 6.02, 6.03, 6.04, 7.01, 7.02, 7.03, 7.04, 7.05, 7.06, 8.02, 9.01, 9.02, 10.02, 11.06, and 11.08 of the Charter of the City of Pataskala, directing the Clerk of Council to publish the proposed charter amendments and authorizing the submittal of the proposed amendments to the electorate.
Discussion and roll motion
move,
to adopt.
I'll move to adopt.
Second.
Okay, motion to adopt by Mr. Barstow, seconded by Mr. Fox. Kathy, when you're ready.
Walter?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Pickett?
Yes.
All right, ordinance passes. On to reports. I've got some fantastic news today. First of all, I had a chance to visit the kids last week at the church where we have the free lunches. What a neat program. Capuano's is involved in that. The Lions Club, Church of the Nazarene. They've served over 900 meals this summer to kids that wouldn't normally have lunch. So I intermixed with some folks and got to meet some of the residents and talk to them, and they all praised the program, and it's nice to see that happening in our city. It's kind of hard to imagine that we have that issue, but we do. But hats off to Capuano's and Rotary and everybody that's involved in that. It was really kind of cool. To date, I haven't heard from the Knights of Columbus, but I've heard from most of the other groups. The nice thing about the fireworks, and again, Andy, and thanks for that huge check for the fireworks. We're really in great shape with the fireworks, but as I started thinking about how the weather was fantastic and all the events went very, very well, but then I asked all the food service groups, our Lions Club and the Knights and the Boosters, and of course, I know what you made because you gave it to me, but when you think about it, our service groups made over $10,000 that weekend. So there's money that's going to the Boosters for the high school to help the kids out, handicapped children, blind children, and also, alumni, Police Academy alumni, made over $1,000, and that's going to go for Shop with a Cop. So there's some kids that are going to be able to shop this Christmas for themselves and their family. So just kind of a neat thing. The fireworks are fantastic. It's a great community event, but there's another plus that over $10,000 made to go back into community service. So I'm very pleased with that. This morning we had a CIC meeting in Johnstown at a, you won't believe it, but it's at a facility that's about a year and a half old up in Johnstown that is involved in extracting cannabis and making it into medical stuff. So it's kind of wild. But we had a great meeting, and through the efforts of myself and others, we passed a couple of milestones with the CIC. It was voted unanimously today to begin to let other folks that invest in the CIC to travel to what we call missions and trade shows and stuff like that. So that was passed. And then I had been going to bat, along with others going to bat, It was voted unanimously on today, except for myself. I abstained, but Mr. Fulton will be representing Licking County and Pataskala in Chicago in September when we go to a trade show, completely, obviously, paid for airfare and hotel and meals. So I thought that was great news as we continue to try to partner with CIC and fire up Licking County and Pataskala at the same time. So, of course, Mr. Scott, Mr. Fulton, your reputation preceded you with your work with the Licking County Planning and Planning Commission, was it? Mm-hmm. So I think 3 or 4 years with those folks.
Yes.
So they already knew you. They know your good stuff, I was very pleased that that happened. The other thing that they voted unanimously on today was to also, and this may help us out in the future too, maybe with our city planner or Scott, they're going to start allowing folks that invest with the CIC, like ourselves, to on the committees, like the marketing committees and the other committees that we have, getting non-board members and people like maybe Scott or maybe our city planner involved. So two major things today that open it up to folks with that may have the expertise to help out, again, Licking County and obviously Pataskala. So very good day. And that's all I have. Mrs. Carter.
I have nothing under the president report, sir.
Mr. Zetz.
I have nothing.
Nothing on your vacation, nothing?
It was really hot, but it was really nice. I'll admit it.
Very good.
Object.
No embarrassing vacation pictures?
I know I can't. Can't do a lot of things I do.
All right. Mr. King. Save
you, Mayor. I just have a few quick items for council. In Jamie's absence, I'll just report that the budget is on track. As we talked about, the revised budget schedule that was adopted, departments are into it. I saw Mr. Haynes just the other day spending time with some of his staff going through stuff. So we're on track, and I'm excited, and I appreciate everybody stepping up to meet the new schedule. I'll work with the street committee chair and the rest of the members and also the residents who are here from the ravines of Hazelwood to identify some dates that would work for our meeting, and then we'll get something scheduled. So, Andy, I'll be in touch with you. HR manager interviews have been completed. We're in the process of doing background check on one. So hopefully everything comes back fine and we can make an offer. And if so, in one of the meetings in August, we'll have our new city planner and our HR manager attend to be introduced to council. The last thing I just want to mention are the weekly updates I've been providing to council. I apologize this morning that the one did not go on Friday. Hopefully those are helpful to council. And if you ever have any questions about any of the items in there or would like to see additional items, please let me know. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Anything for BJ? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess I do. I would, as we're working on the budgets, I would like to see, I happen to listen to the street committee. I noticed that there's about $160,000 that we're planning on spending on some of the roads due to the problems that from the detour. I'm not sure those roads are anywhere near the problems we have over at Oak Meadow. I have real concerns about Oak Meadow, and I'm really being impatient about Oak Meadow. So what I would like to suggest, and I want everybody on council to hear it, is that as the budget moves forward, we try to earmark a certain percentage of that budget, whether cuts have to be made in certain areas or whatever we want to do, things that we can put off for another year, and between the general fund as well as the street fund, and move those monies to complete some of those other projects and get started on Oak Meadow. $160,000 is not a drop in a bucket, and one of our choices was a little over $350,000 to do Oak Meadow. So I want to see those things done. Mill Street is absolutely horrible. I don't think the other streets are quite so bad that we're looking at. But I just think that we need to keep our eye on that, and we need to make that a priority in this budget. We can do it 1 year, and it isn't going to hurt us. I wouldn't believe, certainly if it's something the police department absolutely needs to have, absolutely. If it's something the street needs to, fine. But some of their wish list items maybe should be put on hold, and we should send as much funds as possible so that we can complete that, because that road is horrible, and kids walk that road a lot, and they don't have sidewalks. I just think we really need to move on that.
Okay. If I can just make, we're not spending an additional $160,000. What was provided to the street committee were some options. We don't have $160,000 to spend. So what we talked about are doing smaller sections of those with the money that we have left over from the street paving. If we did all of those, it would be $160,000, but we don't have that to spend to do additional paving this year.
How much do we have?
45.
I think it was
plus
40.
Plus minus 45.
Yeah.
45,000.
Yeah.
Right.
So if we did all of those, it would be 100. Those cost estimates would equal
$160,000.
Correct. And we don't have that to do, so we're not going to be doing all of those.
Okay.
Yep. Yes, sir.
BJ, about a month ago, a little over a month ago, Nate was in here about Grolicking County, and I had some notes on here about some things that were available for potentially for Pataskala, Wi-Fi, public Wi-Fi, some matching grants, that kind of stuff. Have you talked with Nate any further about this? If you can give us a little update on that.
Yeah, I can get some additional information and share it. The grant for public Wi-Fi was created, so it is a grant program, and we are going to be submitting an application on the city's behalf to do some of that. What we're going to be looking at is probably the Main Street area. Looking at, you know, different routers and everything down there. So that one is a real live grant at this point that's available, and we are going to be submitting for that.
We had talked about some other options, maybe even municipal park, some of the parks getting some Wi-Fi, that kind of stuff. The other thing was there was some requests for some pictures and some other information now that the website's up and running. Mm-hmm. You know, anything more that we can do to aid the development process in Pataskala?
As far as pictures, Jess, I know, has provided a lot of pictures to Nate for the website. And we've also, like I said, created the drop boxes, which have been come in handy for sharing different documents and everything. So did that answer with?
Yeah, I just wanted to find out where we were with it. I hope I had not heard from Nate for a little while, so I just wanted to make sure you were still in touch with him and working to give him more information.
Yeah. I talk to Nate Strom on a pretty regular basis, whether it's through text or telephone calls, and actually several times today. So
I can believe that.
Very good.
Okay.
Anything else for BJ? Okay. Are you covering Mr. Nicholson, or did I know that he had put his his report out there and asked if anybody had any questions. You all know he's on vacation. So.
I'm not going to spend any time going through his report. If there are questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Okay. What I did want to highlight is just the budget. All the models are out and everything, and it's moving forward very smoothly.
Very good.
Nate.
Thank you, sir. We had a very nice utility committee meeting last week. A couple items of discussion. We spoke of backflow, and we've got some grants among some of the body to handle some of our business in that arena. I also updated the committee, and you have my report regarding a resolution at the next meeting for the sale of the produced hay at the water reclamation. As you recall, we had discussions about that program, and didn't really go forward the way I would have liked, but in the process, we had fields approved at the wastewater plant. We put product on the fields, and a part of that we had to move the truck. So while we had two-thirds of the equipment needed to make hay, we made hay. We've got roughly 90 bales in storage, and the resolution with that will be to sell it competitively sold, however you say. Work on that for the next meeting. Also, at the next meeting, we'll have a resolution authorizing the purchase of a new submersible lift station pump for the Creek River lift station. We have a backup in place, but the same style of pump is used at our Eastside station, so our spare is now gone. We were going to rebuild the pump, but it was dated 2003, and it's been repaired several times since then, so we're going to go a new direction again. And there will also be a resolution at the next meeting to sell the said hay equipment that we have. We're going to start out on debt deals with that, or we'll combine it for a future purchase. Another item that wasn't on the report, but I at least want to let you guys know, we are planning to put a float in the parade for the street fair. We got some volunteers. We're going to do some after-hours stuff to assemble a float with a replica water tower on it. With the idea we're going to have some ice water to hand out, throw it, we're going to hand it out, and we're going to display a little bit of the product on the float, too. we're going to have kind of on the side so people can see what the product looks like and then compare it to soil, and then we're going to do a blend mix with out of it that we're in the process of doing now. So just a visual, and we're going to put some banners on the side, how many million gallons.
Will you be passing out Tootsie Rolls?
That's a great idea.
I do have some.
Perfect. Thank you.
Big ones.
I wish you could get away.
Bring those in tomorrow.
We've got to look back in one of the older water towers. We're going to do a replica of the one that fell off Cedar Street.
Cool.
Thank you.
Very good. Any questions for Nate? Yes, sir.
Nate, I noticed in your report you were talking about how the Water Reclamation Department had some testing done. Could you go into a little bit more detail? I'm trying to understand how in the world we're improving the health to the South Fork River through effluent.
Yeah, basically this was a grant study through Great Lakes Environmental Center, and they're working with the EPA fine-tuning their process on how they base nutrient level loadings at the stream. So instead of just taking a magic number and saying the river is this length, this wide, there's this many PPOs coming into it, your permit level should be this. So this grant is kind of forcing the EPA, if you will, to really take a scientific look at the effects on the stream. The district is participating in it too. So they're looking, of course, for mussels, things in the stream that indicate excellent water quality. They came back, and what they've done so far is saying that our ammonia levels are so low, we are actually improving the stream where we're discharging. So this will come into our favor next permit renewal, especially with phosphorus, too, saying, all right, well, if you think we need to have a certain level, we're going to go back and do a phosphorus study with this and say, instead of you just throwing the number on the wall, prove the math that we are impacting or not impacting the stream. So it was nice. We the EPA folks bringing out the folks from the testing center, and it was just kind of nice to put kind of pen to paper on actually what we're doing from a scientific level so people can see the evaluation.
Were there any reports generated on this?
Final draft will be coming. Hopefully, they just did the final round, the summer round of testing. I imagine we would have the final draft here in the next.
Okay, is that something you can supply?
Oh, yeah.
That's
absolutely
great.
Very good. Anything for Nate? All right. Alan?
Mayor, I wonder if you've been going to Ottawa Lake. One is the mosquito spraying. The second round will be happening the week of the 27th. And the other one was, like we already discussed in the street committee, $45,000 savings on the street program. I guess I want to clarify a little bit. The rest of that money that we were looking at for Midland Township was we didn't use a salt on projected this year, so we had some extra money in there. We were looking at the total of around $100,000, and understanding the budget, I might not be right, is that if we don't use that money, it basically we may not have it. So we wanted to use that money where we could on streets that needed it. So I don't think that $100,000 is going to do much on.
Anything for Al? Yes, sir.
The only other thing I wanted to mention is that ODOT Although the rain this morning did get started a little bit on State Route 310 on schedule, they were doing, sorry if you were going to hit that. So they will be coming through doing their work. I do want to give some credit to Allen's department. Last week they changed the culvert out on State Route 310 North, got it done in a day. We were looking at maybe, you know, a couple day closure, but got it all done in a day and had it back open for folks. So nice job to those guys, and we'll see ODOT start to come through. Well, Shelley come through with the ODOT project here very soon.
Yes, sir.
Allen, on your report, you mentioned on Taylor Road Path Project, the construction is scheduled to begin spring of 18. Is that correct, or is it spring of 17?
Mr. King has, I think.
It's spring of 18.
And the delay, is that for a funding issue?
Yeah, it's when the money becomes available. That's been the original schedule all along. If you look at a couple of the projects that we have, and I'll put this in my weekly update, but we've got three projects that are further out, one being the Columbia Road Bridge, that'll be in 17.
Right.
We got awarded that a couple of years ago. We also have the Mink Street Phase 2, which will be 2018 because of funding cycle. And then the path on Taylor Road's also 2018 because of the funding cycle.
Okay.
Anything else, Andy?
Well, I just have one. You say the funding has already been approved for the Columbia Road Bridge?
We have a grant that's in place for it, but it's through the federal bridge program, and funding does not become available. It'll be spring or summer of 2017. If I remember correctly.
Okay.
Going off memory.
They're on a different schedule than us, aren't they?
Who's that?
July to July, typically.
Yes, but these programs, money doesn't become available the next year. It's not like OPWC.
Okay.
Where money becomes available the next year after you receive the award. These are pushed further out. So they're all in the design phase right now.
Well, that's what I was reading Allen's report also, the initiatives under the Columbia Road box culvert replacement. Is that, that's the same project, correct? Or is that a different project?
Different.
That's a different culvert, project. Yeah. So you're looking for OPWC money for that project now.
Correct. That's south of Broad.
Okay.
If you look.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now. I know
south
exactly
of
what you're talking about.
Yep.
Okay.
There's okay. No road.
Yep. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else?
Whoa, Mr. I got a question. And it's, did I hear correct that they are starting the 310 paving at the 40 side versus the 161 side?
Correct.
Okay. One lane at a time, obviously. Okay.
As long as they do it.
Yeah.
Todd, did you have a question?
Yes. Any updates on the Mink and Broad intersection?
Yes, and I would like to talk to council offline on that if possible.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else for Allen?
I have one more thing about the pavement. Talk to Allen, sorry, to keep... But with the side streets, I talked to Allen about this, and he went out last week and marked out on those side streets how far back to go, and he's really pushed the envelope on it. So we're going to be able to get some of those, especially looking at the west side of Mill Street where it got torn up. It's going back, I think he said, about 50 feet there. So on those side streets, we're going to have a nice transition coming back.
Keep kicking it out as far as you can. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess I was incorrect with 159,000, so I want to change that to 100,000. I still think we ought to be putting some of that money towards Oak Meadow. I don't care if we start drainage on it this year. Do something towards it.
Okay, point taken. Mr. Fulton?
Thanks, sir. One thing I did want to highlight is the Planning and Zoning Department has been working closely with the Utility Department as it relates to certificates of compliance. And essentially, certificate of compliance, is, particularly as it pertains to new single-family homes, is after the home is done, we get a call from the builder and we go out to inspect and make sure all applicable zoning requirements are met. In the past, the Utility Department was doing on their own. We would look at our things on our own. So what we've done is start to establish a process where we both work together to make sure that we're not getting the cart ahead of the horse, that we make sure the utility department's satisfied and we're satisfied, just so we're not working independently, we're working together on that. So last week we established that process, and we're going to start to give it a trial run to see how things go and tweak things as necessary. But I think it'll be very beneficial not only for us but for the residents to make sure that once it's done, and they're not getting visits from people after they've moved in and things of that nature. Be happy to answer any questions.
Todd?
I have three words for you. Old Summit Town.
We contacted them. They responded back that there was an issue once they got down to the pipes in the ground with asbestos and some other EPA issues. They were expecting to have an EPA report back. I believe it was last week. We called and left a message today to see how that report came back, to see when they might start continuing the process, but we haven't heard back. So last we know, we're waiting on an EPA report to determine how they're to mitigate the EPA issues that they found once they got down to the foundation level.
Well, now it's become a – I drive by there every day. Now it's become a dumping ground. There's all kinds of couches and other assorted crap on that lot that has nothing to do with the EPA. So once again, I would encourage the administration to take a forceful hand with these people and – cite them into court for crying out loud, and let's not let them walk all over us, which is what they're doing right now. I don't care who they are. They're walking all over us, and we need to get it cleaned up. It's a tremendous eyesore. They've got trucks parked there. It's ridiculous. It has nothing to do with the EPA. Thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I would like to get back on your report. It appears as though we've had yet another business that has lost their conditional uses. And I've been involved with the city since even before the onset of the city. And I don't recall we've ever done that. And we've done that three times in the last 6 months. And I understand that they're not following the direction of BZA. But I also understand, in my opinion, that some of that direction is bull donkey. Nice-looking trees, things like that. That's not reasonable and fair for a business. They have to put nice-looking trees up. How do you know what a nice-looking tree is? But anyway, besides that, I think that three businesses in 6 months raises something for me that says we've got something drastically wrong out there. Something's not correct, whether it was the old conditional uses that were being applied and how they were being applied or what it is. One of the businesses wasn't allowed to park vehicles outside the building, outside. And he performed maintenance on vehicles. But he wasn't allowed to have any outdoor parking. So we pulled his conditional use. I understand now it appears as though that individual may be coming in for some other sort of plan, and that's fine. But I just have real concerns. Prior to most anybody in this room being here, even, other than Ms. Hayes and maybe Mr. Lee, the city of Pataskala was known to run out businesses. That's what we were known for. We ran out a multi-million-dollar business, steel company, that now has a beautiful business going in Gahanna, Ohio. And we basically ran them out of town, and that's the story. And they just finally got tired of not being able to make noise at night, but they were always there first. And you know, they were the first business in there, and then homes came in afterwards. So we did. So I don't want to see that happen again. And if we've got an issue with our zoning code, if we've got an issue with our conditional uses, if we've got whatever it is, I think we need to address it. I understand these people aren't following the letter of the law. and I understand that there need to be consequences for it, but I just am concerned, and I'm not saying that you're doing a bad job. I'm just saying, to me, it looks like we've got a problem if we've sent three businesses that pay taxes, that pay property tax, that buy things in our community, and they're gone now. They're not here anymore. And I completely understand. I mean, I spoke to these people. They lied to me. One of them lied to me straight to my face. Oh, yeah, we're going to take care of that. We're coming to the meeting. We'll be there. Everything's going to be handled. And they never showed up at the meeting. So I'm not saying that it's planning and zoning's fault. I'm just saying we have an issue out there, and we've got to get that corrected, because otherwise the appearance, whether it's true or not, is going to be that we are chasing away businesses. And that's just my personal opinion. And others may have certainly different ones, but I have real concerns about that. And that was in your report, so.
If I may, what happened with that is it was in January of 2012, so about 4 years ago, folks were granted a conditional use to operate a business at a specific location. Along with that, and I will agree with Mr. Fox on these, the terms of some of those things were in a gray area, shall we say, that, you know, there was installation of nice trees and shrubs. What does that mean? What's the quantity? Things of that nature. That does make it difficult. That being said, this was something that was prior to me being here, that now when we do give folks conditions, it's outlined clearly in time frames, quantities, certain things, that it makes it easier for everyone to understand. That being said, some simple things such as the installation of a fence didn't occur for 4 years. So this was brought to their attention. They failed to correct it or make any real effort aside from the fence in the back to meet those requirements. And what happens, it goes before the BZA. It's not the Planning and Zoning Department that is attempting to chase away businesses or anything of that nature. We go out of our way to help, sometimes arguably too much. But with that, they had a 4-year time period in which something like install a fence, and they failed to do it. It was brought before the Board of Zoning Appeals, and the issues were presented to them. So they made the call. It was a three-person vote with one abstention to revoke the conditional use. So it was strictly the BZA's prerogative in order to do that.
Can I ask, is that out of seven people? Or is that a five? Okay.
And one was absent.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey. Go ahead, Andy.
One more quick follow-up on the old Summit Town. You know, I go by there every day also, and I notice several things that aren't necessarily involved with any EPA issues. And I would think that it would go a long way if they can get those items completed. Understand subsurface conditions, subsurface issues. Those we don't have to look at when you're driving by. But the sign, electrical boxes, different things that are still there, shrubs that should be, you know, removed essentially because nobody's maintaining them, parking islands, so forth, parking asphalt, whatever. Those have nothing to do with the EPA, and they should, in my opinion, it should be at least our position that those should be taken care of immediately.
Okay.
So, just a suggestion.
Do you have a comment?
I do on the conditional use stuff. You know, the three that we mentioned were three that occurred well before Scott was here. I think how we got to this point is that over time these things were issued by the BZA, and that was the end of it. The city never did anything to make sure conditions were being met, which is what the city should be doing. The BZA makes these calls. Mr. Zetz, if I'm wrong here, tell me, but they're the ones who make these, whether how well written or not. Staff is then on the hook to make sure these things are met. And if people have several years to do this stuff and they fail to do it, I think it's pretty easy. You tell them exactly what they need to do and they don't do it. We give them the playbook to do it. So the three that have occurred were well before Scott. I agree that the department goes out of their way to help folks now, whether it's somebody putting in a sidewalk, building a deck, or a business coming in. So I think that what you've seen are the pains of cleaning up a mess that Scott inherited with these that lasted for a very long time. They were conditions set by the BZA. We don't have the ability to just waive conditions or not enforce conditions that are set by the BZA. So,
I want to add to that, too. I'm sitting in Scott's chair before he was here. You know, the people come in to the BZA, and they agree to it. So it's not something that's forced upon them. You know, these are conditional uses. They aren't part – this is how they get to do whatever they want to do in that location. They agree to these things, and neighbors are present. And there's a lot of thought that's actually put into this, to these conditional uses. And I think the five-member board does an excellent job in agreeing to think outside the box to allow businesses to do things in areas that they weren't necessarily meant to be those types of businesses. With that being said, the businesses, that it's their obligation then to fulfill that agreement, and when they don't, I think that the city has to go to them. And if it took, I don't know how long it took to deal with the maintenance, the car mechanic, but I know that was a 6-month or 8-month process, and tried to encourage them repeatedly to meet the conditions, and as being part of that entire conditional use and seeing them not do it, I can tell you that I was very upset about it, that they didn't do it. And they lied flat out to us. You know, that's the only way we can look at it, is they did not have any real desire to do what they agreed to do. So that's my 2 cents on it.
Anybody else before we go back to Mr. Fox? Go ahead.
Okay, let me just clarify this, because evidently I didn't make it clear. I'm not blaming BZA. I'm not blaming planning and zoning. It's probably the business's fault. I don't know all the particulars, but the facts are the facts. We've had 3 businesses leave our city in less than 6 months. That's not a good record. Wherever the fault lies, something's not right. Whatever it is. Do I think BZA isn't doing their job? Absolutely not. Do I think Scott isn't doing his job? Absolutely not. But we still have that outcome where we've lost 3 businesses. You know, I don't think I ever saw a sign at the one business. I'm not sure that they were ever really open for business. That's my view. As a councilman, as I drive up over the hill and see it day after day, I never saw a sign there. I never knew they were open for business. I never saw an open sign. I never saw anything. So I don't even know anything about any of that, other than I remember 4 years ago when they were going to go in, it was going to be great and nice, and they didn't do anything, and that's fine. But the facts are still there. We have 3 businesses that are not in our city. And I can tell you that the one has a business in Etna Township now. So
I would say let's hope that when they go to a township that they follow their zoning codes.
Yeah, I'll be the last one to speak here and put this to bed, because those 3 businesses, which hammered the heck out of everybody on council and myself trying to pull last-minute stuff, in reality, this is just my opinion, they're not businesses that performed well, and in the end, I would have wanted in my city. Yep. So, just my personal opinion.
Yeah, I don't.
So, I'm no done. More. Bruce, fine. What do you got for us?
Just a reminder that our task force meeting's tomorrow night at 6 p.m. right here on the drug issues. And I just would like to recognize Officer McClellan. He was out training today, and the sheriff's office actually had a burglary suspect who escaped from their cruiser, and Officer McClellan made the arrest on that.
Sweet.
Thank you, Officer McClellan.
Did you have your dog with you? Didn't have the dog, so you did it by yourself.
Oh, yeah, he's dog.
Yeah, he's dog. Very good. All right. Fantastic. Good news. Good stuff.
Good job.
Is there any word on when Joker is going to be ready for service?
They're working the certification out right now. Next, we'll know in the next few days of when they'll take his state test.
That's the name of the dog, Joker. So very good.
I thought you were talking about Scott.
No, I'm not. Not talking about Scott. I know that's been a long process and something that Scott's been looking forward to. So I'm glad you're almost there. And that'll that'll put us one on second and one on third, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Before we go to committee chair reports, I forgot something. You know, the only downfall of the fireworks. We had some phony bills passed, and I was all excited because I was exhausted from the fireworks, but my mom called and said, hey, the Foundation Park made the news, and I thought, of course, okay, it's going to be about the fireworks. I was all pumped up. She goes, well, one of the boosters or somebody out there, she said, one of the food concession stands had gotten three phony $20 bills, which I hate when we make the news that way, because of all the other stuff that happens, the good stuff. But my mom picked up on it, and she said, hey, I'm sending you a check for $20. I want to make sure the booster gets it. So there's $20. And there's my mom's phone number. You guys call her and make an 85-year-old woman happy by telling her things. So there's at least $20 back. And those are good bills.
Do you got a pin? Can you? Yeah.
Those up yourself.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor.
Any committee chair reports tonight, Mr. Walter?
I have a street committee report from this evening. I believe everybody was here present for the meeting. We discussed several items. In those items, we had some concerns. Well, we first evaluated or listened to an evaluation from the 2016 paving report. Some saving opportunities, some additional paving opportunities. Three different alternatives have been presented for three short segments of roadway to be evaluated for potentially using those savings. Secondly, we evaluated an issue with the ravines at Hazelwood. The traffic concerns have asked the administration to look into some alternatives to that. We're going to have the next meeting will have a open forum after the meeting. To talk with the residents regarding their concerns and also discuss alternatives and the pluses and minuses to those alternatives and how they may affect their community. Other business that was brought up, we brought up the Foundation Park Drive, meaning the roadway. I don't know if we're going to call it a street or not. It's in a public or a private area, but it is essentially a roadway. It's utilized for people traveling from McIntosh all the way through to 40, so there's a lot of traffic in and out of that.
To Broad, correct.
Lastly, we talked again about the Oak Meadow issues and we'll continue to look into those alternatives.
Okay. Any other? Yes, ma'am.
I just want to, if you don't mind, Andy, I was going to talk about that in my park report. When I went to the park board meeting this past week, it was asked if I would bring forward the issue with the path, roadway, whatever it is through the park and its condition. Apparently, over the years, as it's continued to deteriorate, it's been brought to council, and it's never really been determined if it should be with under the streets, under the roads, under park, and as the debate goes forward, it just kind of falls apart and never is addressed again. So they were simply asking for us to put it on our list to get it evaluated. So certainly not to come before any of the streets that we're asking to have done or that need to be done right away, but to definitely keep it on our radar, maybe get some estimates done and figure out if we can do it in stages, whatever it takes. So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear to everyone that we weren't asking to put that, or they weren't asking to put that ahead of any of our roadways.
Anything else for a park report?
Just that they're moving forward. It seems like Dave's working well with Jamie to get the CIP together, mm-hmm. and all the other events in the summer have gone very smoothly. So parks are running well.
Any other committee chair? Yes, sir.
I just have a comment on that, on the Park Road. I sent an email out. I had never gotten an answer to the email. Can the capital improvement from the park fee be used on that park road?
Mr. King?
Park capital fees can be used on that. Capital fee is for those larger projects that have a lifespan of 5 years or more. So, yes. Right now, we have about $24,000, I think, in that park fund or park CIP fund.
I have a committee meeting. Sorry. Safety and Tech. Yeah. Safety and Tech met at 6 tonight, and we discussed the upgrade of the system, the mics, and the potential for screens in the room for better presentations and when we have guests and presenters. We also talked about the possible resale of the microphones in the current system that we have, just up for discussion. We talked about the future of the room and the presentation, how it looks for as developers come in and different committees are able to use it. So BJ is working with the IT guy and going to get some quotes on different types of systems as opposed to just different units and what we can look at for the future for the room. We also talked about what the current status is for the server of the police department and how that was going. How is that?
It's going well. We're still working out little bugs here and there, but it's for the most part, it's a big help.
Yay. All right. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad we did a little bit up in the conference room with a nice screen and cleaned up that room. I'm hoping we can get some things done in here. That'd be great. Any other committee chair reports?
Yeah, Tim. I've got one. The utility committee, as Nathan mentioned, did meet on July 11th. He gave a little bit of a breakdown as to what we talked about, which was the booster station study, backflow prevention. We also talked about the an issue with a house that has been dewatered on Creek Road. We had a discussion about that. There were two motions that came out of that. One was a motion that general to council that we consider all candidates for the upcoming Southwest Licking Community Water and Sewer District position, including the four council members that currently reside in former Lima Township. Did I get that wrong?
Well, actually, the motion was that we consider council members. Not that we consider them council members. Prior to now, we have never been able to be on the Southwest Licking Sewer and Water District.
That's correct.
We now are allowed to. And the motion that I made was that we consider council members in addition to what's the discussion, in addition to other people.
My apologies. I must have gotten that wrong from the minutes. So I apologize for that. Also, the recommendation that council refuse the current offer regarding the dewatered property on Creek Road.
Okay. Anything for Tim? Any other committee chair reports? Yes.
It's really not a committee chair, but it's also not what comes later. So I just want to say, everybody on council got my fire board report as always. This is how many runs happen in the fire district, and it was not included in the electronic version of the report. So that's why you have it on your day.
Well, I got it.
Oh, did you? Kathy may have scanned it and sent it to you. It should not have come with the original report. In the future, it will, but that was part of my fire board packet, and I want to make sure everybody gets everything.
I'll mention, when I sent it, I just attached that to your fire board report, so they got them both together.
There we go.
Okay, but it's separate, came separate. They're attached. Okay.
They came together, but
one document.
I believe it's two separate attachments on one email.
Mr. Lee?
Mr. Hicken, any preliminary run numbers or status report on the new station on Taylor Road?
Yeah, if you look on there.
I don't have it in front of me.
Okay. That station is 404. And so the first in the first month, they had 59 medic runs.
Okay. I saw they had some work the other night right across the street. Looks like there was a house fire that I'm assuming they made a significant impact in from that location just from where I saw it on my CAD. So I don't know that for a fact, but I'm assuming that. So
yeah, and that's in line with what we originally thought we might see. And that, of course, is, like you pointed out, a faster response time to those at least in our city, the citizens that live on that Taylor Road corridor.
Very good. Anything else? All right. Any additional citizens' comments? You have 3 minutes to speak.
Excuse me, Mr.
Yes,
Mayor.
Sir.
Yeah, I do believe we probably need a motion that was just stated to reject the dewatering agreement. Do we need to do that publicly?
The only question I have with that is, I don't know if all of council has seen that.
Correct. And so that was an item that was discussed just at the utilities committee.
So we need to at least that addressed at the next council meeting.
First meeting in August, we can have that written out on the agenda.
Okay.
Not necessarily to follow up on that, but if we go to citizens' comments, are we missing new business motions?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
We're on a new business. No ordinances, no resolutions. Any motions?
I'd like to make a motion.
Yes, sir.
I would like to make a motion for council to direct the city administrator to update and revise the 2006 basic disaster plan to include an exercise for council approval to include an exercise of the newly approved plan.
Newly approved what?
Plan.
Plan. Okay, I have a motion. Need a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Barstow. Discussion? And yes, sir.
I've got a question. You're saying to have the administration put together a new plan or an updated plan, correct?
Well, originally I asked around, do you want me to talk BJU?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're the expert.
No, I'm... Not on disaster plans, well, but go right ahead.
My question is, because the plan that we have in place right now is substandard.
It's a copy of
somebody else's plan that has nothing to do with Pataskala. And
it was
something that needed to be updated, like, 100%. So I'm just asking, what degree is this new plan going to be? Is this a rewrite, or is it an update?
Do you mind?
I don't mind. Go ahead.
I would say that after reviewing the plan and spending some time with it today, it's a rewrite.
Good. Okay. Then I can approve. Okay. I can support that.
Any other discussion? Yes, sir.
As a part of that, can we include water infrastructure issues, disaster management? Is that a part of this?
It's going to be a part of it. Yeah. There's going to be many parts to this. So it's going to be a collaborative effort between us. I see the fire department being involved. I see the police department being involved. I see public services being involved. I don't know if we have any zoning disasters, so I doubt that Scott will be involved. Well, maybe we would, but
certainly
from a water quality standpoint, a water service standpoint, absolutely.
If we have one, it would just be nice if we're going to have one.
No.
If we're going to have one citywide, I'd like to include ours as part of it.
That's perfect.
And my thought behind this is, you know, I asked, what are we going to do in a blizzard, a giant blizzard? Does the city have a plan? What are we going to do? We have a major train tracks that run through the city. What are we going to do in a train derailment? And my experience with these has been, you have to write them so that, because no disaster is going to end up being just follow along in the pages, but hopefully we all have an idea of what the city is going to do should a major disaster hit in the city, for the city to have a plan. So.
Okay. Looks like we're going to move forward. Kathy, go ahead with the roll.
Carter?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Hicken?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Motion passes. Any other motions tonight? Okay. Additional citizens' comments. Anybody wish to speak? Yes, Mr. Mead.
Again, I'd like to say thanks, Scott, because I've been bringing up the old Summit Town for the last 3 or 4 months. And so, again, I talked to Scott. He's talked to me numerous times about it. And it's nice to see other council members starting to look at the problem, because I've always stated that west side of town is where they come from, Columbus, and that's the image that we're displaying for our city. And when I was on council, that was a major concern for me, was that image. And so, yeah, it's nice to see people working on the problem.
Thank you. Anybody else wish to speak? Okay. You want to bring us out there? Yes, sir, Mr. Fox.
Make a motion to go into executive session pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22G3 for a conference with an attorney for the public body concerning disputes involving the public body that are the subject of pending or imminent court action. Those to be invited into executive session are Mr. B.J. King, City Administrator, Mr. Nathan Coey, Utility Director, and Mr. Brian Zetz, Law Director.
I just have a quick question. Since we're going to do two back-to-back, do we state the other one and then go up there and hit both of them? Or?
I think you can. Two separate motions of votes, but I think you can go back-to-back.
Okay. Got a motion to go into executive session. Need a second.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Carter. Discussion and roll.
Fox?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Hickens?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. You got the stuff for the other one? Mrs. Carter?
I'd like to make a motion to immediately go into executive session following the first one pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 121.22G1. To consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual, unless the public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual requests a public hearing.
Motion by Mrs. Carter.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Hicken. Discussion and roll.
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Hicken?
Yes.
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Okay, we'll be going upstairs for two executive sessions at 8:12. I had a late lunch. Any discussion?
Hold on.
Okay, we'll start over. Okay, motion to come out of executive session.
So moved.
Second. By Mr. Fox, seconded by Mr. Barstow. Discussion and roll, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Hickens?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, out of executive session at 9:08. Let's go around the room real quick, Mr. Fox.
I would like to make a motion to direct the mayor to start discussions with the finance director and the city administrator for contract renewal.
Second.
Got
second.
A motion seconded by Mr. Lee. Oh. Yeah, he was very soft-spoken.
Oh, okay.
Second.
But he did.
Was that better?
No.
Second.
A little bit better.
That's as good as you're going to get.
You're a freaking fireman. Let me build it out, dude.
Hey, cool, calm, collected, man.
All right, okay. Got a second by Mr. Lee. Any discussion? And roll.
Yes.
Hickens?
Yes.
Walter?
Yes.
Carter?
Yes.
Fox?
Yes.
Hayes?
Yes.
Barstow?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes. Anything else, Mr. Fox?
I would just like to bring to everybody's attention, which we see it at every council meeting, we have an ordinance that has been sitting since January 19th that actually began back in 2015. We might consider removing that, voting it down, doing something, and Mr. King's not here, so I think if the mayor could discuss that with Mr. King and the law director and see if there's something we could move that away from. Also, I would like to commend the police department for the hard work that's been done around the city. My prayers are with all of them as we go through this tough time in our country with that. Unfortunately, 10 o'clock the other night, I'm on email bothering the mayor and Chief Brooks over the safety of our police department, making sure we have things in there. So we do worry about them, and I do in particular with all these things that are happening at this time. And then the final thing is we did have a police breakfast. And some people haven't paid me, so.
Oh.
I forgot where you even had it. I didn't know it went through.
Yeah. So It's $20, and so.
Yep, all the guys got the down eater busters, and
I forgot. I'll get you squared up.
So okay.
So, yep.
I paid. Right. Who else paid?
So far, I have Mr. King, Andy, and you.
Okay.
And Tim just tonight.
Okay.
With the he 20, gave you those two fake tens from the two fake tens.
Mr. Mayor, can I borrow 20 out of the?
There's not 20 in there.
There's not 20 in there.
This isn't the. This isn't the.
We all quit.
I forgot my wallet.
Are you done, Mr. Fox?
I'm done. Thank you.
What was that thing you wanted me to talk to BJ about?
That was there's an ordinance.
The Looking Heights ordinance.
Okay. Yeah. Ordinance.
That
okay.
We have had table since January 19th.
Right. Mr. Barstow.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just I've had some extensive discussions with Mr. King about that ordinance, and I think he has some ideas about how to handle that. So
okay.
I hope that'll help take care of things.
Very good.
Very quickly, I want to have Mr. Hicken pass on my thanks to the West Licking Fire District for their excellent response to my mom's accident on Sunday a week ago. Two very fine EMTs showed up, and also the C-Tech trainee was there, fantastic, and got out of the hospital right away. She's doing fine. And also on the behalf of the bench and the bar of Licking County, I want to thank Councilmember Hayes for performing her civic duty this past week as a juror. I understand she didn't get to deliberate, but we appreciate the fact that citizens
do. Were you an alternate?
You
didn't
get to say no.
It was a directed verdict, and I take it. I hope that Judge Brands will explain that. I think he went and talked to them afterwards. But we certainly we could not function, or our legal system could not function without the assistance of jurors, people who come and give a week or two of their time to help us decide cases. So thanks for that. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chicken.
I don't have anything.
Mrs. Carter.
Just two quick things. One, I'm really happy that the Charter Commission and the amendment was everything was put on the ballot, ready to go to the ballot. I'll get it out at some point. And to thank the Charter Commission for the work they did, and finally to see that come to some conclusion is great. Also, to remind everybody that the cookout with a cop is on Saturday the 30th, beginning at 10 a.m.
10 to 2.
10 to 2 in Freedom Park. So there's just going to be lots of cool things there. That's all I have.
Yep, cookout with a cop is the 30th, and I know Detective Ramsey's ramping it up with it's going to be a CPD helicopter there and SWAT and State Highway Patrol and all kinds of cool stuff, along with our own guys with canine demonstrations, and, of course, we are cooking out hamburgers and hot dogs for the residents, so that should be awesome. And don't forget this Saturday, Scooby Snacks is having a blowout from noon to 3, radio remote, all kinds of cool stuff. So, Mr. Zetch, you got anything?
Nothing.
Mr. Lee?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, being the son of a police officer and seeing all the things that are happening and working side by side with those guys every shift that I'm at work, especially in some of the neighborhoods that we go into, I stand behind them completely, and I thank them for what they do. And I see the tough times that they're having, and I just want to state publicly that I fully support them in all that they do, and they are completely they're very appreciated, and it does not go unnoticed the good work that they do.
Did you see the sign down at the police station?
I did. Yeah, that was awesome.
Isn't that cool?
So
cool. We love you. All right, anything else?
No.
Okay, Mr. Walther.
Two things. One, I believe there's after that July 30th, I believe there's a pool party after that for the police officers. And I don't know if that information, do you have that yet? Anyhow, I'll get that to everybody. I'll send out an email to everybody. Cool. I'm pretty sure it was on the 30th, pretty sure.
Okay.
Anyhow, I'll get that out for everybody. There's a group. Several groups that are putting that together for the police officers.
Sweet.
And their families. So, which hopefully we have great weather. I wanted to make mention that, you know, we have soccer season coming up for the city, for the inaugural city soccer rec program. I'm hopeful that as people call, you know, there's going to be some bumps in the road for the city to do this. And I'm hopeful that when the community calls their council members, that everybody just kind of lets them know, hey, guys, just we'll get through it. I'm sure the city will do just fine. It'll be run just fine. I'm anticipating that it'll be as big or bigger than any of the past seasons. If the middle school travel team is anything to show for that, we're already to three teams on that travel, and that's the first time we've had three teams in a fall season. We typically have three teams in the spring. We could go to four this fall. So that's just letting you know it's coming.
Soccer Saturday.
Yeah, soccer Saturdays.
Anything else, sir? One-armed bandit. What do you got for us down there?
Hornet lady.
I know. Wanted to mention the last time I was here, I talked about a young guy named Ethan Campbell who was going to the Special Olympics state meet for bowling, and he was awarded a gold. It was really cool to be there.
Really?
I'd never done that before, and I drove my son, my daughter, and my son's best friend to the bowling alley and watched it all. It was the most compassionate, loving, just hundreds and hundreds of people there just cheering for their kids and the kids they didn't know. And so it was cool to watch Ethan win a gold medal. He was pretty excited. He's not particularly a verbal young man, and to his facial expressions were priceless. In response to Tom's comment about being the son of a police officer, I too am not a son of a police officer. My dad was a Columbus police officer for 30 years, and so it was cool this week. I got to watch my husband get two of those blue line flags. He ordered them. You can order them. They're flying at the law office, so Dan put those up this week, so that was it's kind of nice. I know that the support for the police departments is pretty strong with our family business, but it's personal for me. My dad was a detective and also organized crime for 20 years as well as homicide. So I understand that a lot of the neighborhoods that he went in, it's kind of indescribable. So lots of support. And if you're driving downtown and you happen to be on High Street, take a look at the old the school that I teach at. They're putting on a new roof and working on the bell tower. There's lots of construction and new and good things, lots of houses. People are doing some summer cleanup in their yards and their houses, and things are looking good downtown. And so excited about that. And motion to adjourn.
Hang on just one second. Listen, as council members, please let folks know this is with everything that's going on in the world right now. Encourage those folks to come down to the cookout with a cop and meet their officers. This is a perfect time to show them. I mean, these guys that work first, second, and third shift, this is one of the main events that I've seen those guys, whether they should be sleeping or not, they come down because, one, they want to be with their buddies, and, two, they want to be with the community. So
it's a good way for us to promote unity in the city.
Okay, now you can go ahead.
Please. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, seconded by everybody. Okay, Mr. Fox, go ahead and roll call, please.
Yes.
Walter? Yes.
Yes.
Fox? Yes.
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 Meeting adjourned.
Cheers, sir.
Put your chairs down.
We're the only ones that do that.